I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem's desire was for people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today's message, Esther, a Shining Star, is the third in our series on people in the Old Testament. It speaks to how Esther surrendered to God and followed His will. God bless.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. It just doesn't seem just a few minutes, and a week is gone, and we're back, and now pretty soon a month is gone, and a year is gone, and now we've been with the Christian Worship Hour almost 38 years, and God has just blessed and helped us, and so many have come to know the Lord, and so many pray for us and help us. Just want to thank you. Well, today we're going to be looking at another Bible character, and that is Esther. And her name means a shining star. And did she shine for God? And that's what we're looking at Esther. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. And we get so many nice letters. And people say, well, maybe could you read more letters? Well, I don't want to get into my sermon. Now, that just scares me to death. But we always have some letters. First one is from Gouverneur, New York. And they say, thank you for continuing to preach the word without a lot of fanfare, just plain, pure, and to the point, and the truth will set us free. Well, you know, that's South Dakota style. We're in North Central South Dakota. Now, most of you don't even know where that's at. You probably think it's next to South Dakota's next to South Carolina, something like that. But we're just out here. We're in this beautiful Midwest. And we're nothing fancy. We just preach the Bible. Preach it so the children understand it. As a matter of fact, we have a little book that we put out called Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? We say, absolutely not. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And by the way, if you want to get that, you can write to us. We'll give you the address at the close of the service. And then you can maybe send a gift. If you can't, well, we'll send it free and postpaid. So here's one from, this one I'm not going to put the state or the town of the state, either one. It's just United States. And the reason I want to do this is because we don't want to put the spotlight on anybody. But I want you to know about this, and I want you to pray, really pray. And this is a letter. The daughter writes and says, my dad is 86 years old. I went to his house to visit and pray for him. As I was praying, he pushed me away. His health is going along with his mind. Nothing seems to soften his heart toward Jesus. I just want him to go to heaven. Please pray for his salvation. And so that all over the world now, you pray for this dear brother, this dear man. He isn't our brother. If he isn't a Christian, he isn't our brother. And pray that the God will talk to his heart, soften his heart, and he accept Jesus. And if this lady writes back, this daughter writes, and he accepts the Lord, I'll pass it on. But all the world pray. Pray for all of the people who don't know Jesus. But I just specially felt about this one gentleman. Here is Cape Canaveral, Florida. Unable to go to our church service this morning, found you in skimming the TV channels. What a blessing. Your words were impressive with the message I needed to hear. I believe God brought us together, and I am very thankful. Your message today was meant for me and has been very uplifting. Well, you know how that works? You know how come I knew that there was this dear lady here? I think this is from a gentleman. It doesn't matter. And I knew they were at Cape Canaveral, and they needed to hear these words, so I made the words for him. I don't know where you people are. I'm going to all get to meet all you Christians in heaven someday, but for now, I don't know you. But so how is this applied to his heart so much? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and he applies it to the hearts. To some person, it may be drifting away. To some person, it may be they don't even know Jesus. To some person, it might be that they need a correction in their life. To some, it may need encouragement in their life. And the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone individually and helps them along the Christian walk. It is so wonderful to be a preacher and preach the Bible, because then you preach with authority, for one thing. Thus saith the Lord, period. And then the Holy Spirit takes and bang, he's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the old tough guy, it cuts him in the heart. And he says, I need Jesus. Sure as the world. I'll bet that's happening right now. And then you just pray, Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I just come to you, Jesus. And I ask you to take away my sins, and I'll serve you, I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I thank you. One more letter is North Branch, Minnesota. And they said, we enjoy your message. Our grandchildren watch you too. They like your message because though they are young, they understand what you're teaching. God bless you and your staff. And so that's the way we do it. We do it so that the children understand. And I'll tell you something else we do. We have a little Bible study the children understand. And people take this and they use it for Sunday school lessons. They use it for retirement homes. They use it for private Bible studies. And it's called The New Song. The New Song. Jot that down. We'll give the address at the close of the service. And The New Song has a Bible study for every month. And this month it is the walking with Jesus and looking at his life. He's our model. And it has the sermons that we preach. It has excerpts from letters. It's just the best little thing. I think we really ought to charge for it. But you know, we are so nice and we are so big-hearted and we're so good. We don't charge anything for The New Song. And it comes every month and it is a deal and it's worth picking up. So you just get your pencil and paper and we'll look at that later, because now we want to look at Esther. Esther, this beautiful lady, it takes us to a beautiful woman, a woman named Esther. Really, the story in the book of Esther involves two beautiful women. The first one was Vashti, and both women were queens, and both were queens to the same king. And no, not only were they beautiful to behold, but they were beautiful within, and they stood true to God in time of trouble and troubles. And testing. They were true to God. Vashti, and then comes Esther. So let's look at this thing. It opens up with a drunken orgy lasting. Listen to this. A drunken party. They have their drunken parties. God have mercy on them. This one was for 180 days. 6 months. 6 months. It's the longest drunken celebration ever given. It was given by Ahasuerus, king of Persia. Also known as Xerxes, ruler of the world. The king's far-flung domain was composed of 127 provinces, and each province had its own nobles and officials, and they were a military apparel and the people and all of the rest. It was a huge gathering, and they came from all over this kingdom to have this party, and it's lasted for 6 months. And now it's in the last 7 days, and they're going to end it up. And he wants to end it, and the old king wants to end it on a high pitch. And he's done everything wicked he can possibly do. He's done everything imaginable, and he says this to himself, "Oh, the banquet is going to end now in 7 days. Going to end this week. I got to do something special. What can I do?" And out of his stupid, alcoholic, inflamed brain, if he had a brain, came this idea that only a drunken man could have ever dreamed up. He thinks about the queen. Queen Vashti, most beautiful lady in the world, most beautiful woman in the world. And he is going to have her come before this group, this whole host of drunken people. And he's going to have her dance for them and going to have every evil eye upon her and every lustful eye upon her. He's going to bring her in, and he says he'll bring in Queen Vashti and he'll have her bestow her beauty before this drunken bunch of bums. He'll have her dance with these revelers, and all of the sensual eyes of the empire can go look upon her. And so we read that the king commanded in the book of Esther, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, for she was beautiful. The word crown in the Hebrew can be translated turban. And what this guy is saying, this king, Ahasuerus, is saying, he is so degraded and he is so evil, he wants Vashti to come and sing and only have a little turban to wear for the whole performance. If you can imagine a brain like that, even a drunken brain shouldn't think of that. And so he tells her, bring her in. The Bible says he was merry with wine, In other places, it says he was high spirits from wine. He was drunk. That's what he was, just a drunk. And so this message is sent to Vashti, and the queen promptly declares, she says, I'll not obey the king, and I'm not coming. And he can jump in the lake. I don't know if he said that, she said that, but that's what it amounted to. Hooray for Vashti. She said no. And you know what that meant? That meant he could have put her to death, and maybe he did. We don't know what happened to Vashti, but you never hear of her again. But she would rather take death than to desecrate her body and sin against God. God bless her. She would not dance. Vashti will live in history, not because of her beauty, but because she stood for the right. She stood for the clean. She stood for the pure. And so this old king is angry, and he's just as angry as he can be. Now he needs another queen. So he says, I want you to go through all of this province, a huge thing, and I want you to find the most beautiful woman in the world. I want you to bring her to me. And they brought her in, and her name was Esther. Who is this Esther that they bring in? Well, Esther was a Jewess, for one thing. Though no one in the court knew it, she was a Jewess. Her name is in Hebrew is Hadassah, which means myrtle. Her Persian name was Esther, which means a star. And Esther was a star indeed. She was a star in her physical beauty, and she was a star in her beauty of her soul and her character. And so then there's a man named Mordecai. And he was Esther was an orphan girl, and Mordecai was a cousin of hers. And he took her in, and he was her father and her cousin at the same time. He watched over her and helped her. Now, Mordecai was also in the palace there for some, had some position in the palace, and maybe that's how he got Esther before the king. We don't know. But Haman was there was a man named Haman, and he was a high rank. He was the prime minister of the whole empire, and he had great power in the king's court. And because of his high rank, he wanted everybody to bow down to him when he walked by. But in his heart, he was a scoundrel. He was a skunk. And that nobody should have bowed down to him. Not even a skunk ought to bow down to him. And when he came by Mordecai knew that who he was and what he was, and Mordecai would not bow his head. Mordecai is a Jew, you remember now. He wouldn't bow his head. And Haman is so enraged, and he's so crazy mad. He goes to the king, and he has a plan that he's going to kill Mordecai. And you know how he's going to kill Mordecai? He's going to have a decree that throughout that whole empire, that whole world, all the Jews have to die. Every Jew has to die. All the Jews have to die so that one man, Mordecai, can die. That's the kind of man Haman was. He wasn't a man. He was a demon, really, in a man's body. So Haman goes to Ahasuerus. And he says, I'll tell you, king, we've got a lot of problems in our kingdom. And the reason we got those kingdom problems is because of the Jews. And if you kill all of the Jews, well, then the problems will go away. And this king says, oh, my, that's wonderful. Let's just do that. And so he signs an edict. And this edict says, and he stamps it with his signet ring. And every Jew knew that in the providence, that every Jew is going to be put to death in the whole empire. The edict has been signed, it's been stamped, and nobody ever changed the law of the Medes and the Persians. And so there they go. And so word comes to Mordecai, and so he calls Queen Esther, and he talks to her, and he says, listen, he says, what you have to do, you have to go to the king, and you have to speak for the life of the Jewish people. You have to speak for us. You have to get this changed somehow, some way. And so there was a twofold problem. First of all, nobody in there knew that she was a Jewess. And secondly, no one dared enter the presence of the king without being invited, not even the queen. And he sat in his throne room, and if somebody came over that threshold and the king was there, if he wanted to receive him, he'd raise his scepter. But if he didn't raise that scepter, they killed the person on the spot. Now, the reason they did that was because of assassins. Assassins could come, and they could come to the throne room somehow, and if they came through that door and the king didn't recognize them, they were put to death immediately. And Esther tells Mordecai, she says, you know, I can't do this. I don't know what. I don't know the king. I haven't seen the king in 30 days. And I can be put to death. I could strike me down dead. And Mordecai answered the queen. And he uses one of the great sayings of the Bible. This is what he says as he writes to Queen Esther. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? But Esther, he's saying, you're come for a time for this. You've been raised for this very time. Mordecai is saying, you've been brought to the palace. You've been made the queen. And why did God put you in there as queen? He put there so that you could protect the people of God and speak for the Jewish nation. That's what you're there for. Yes, he says, and so the challenge is giving. And so Esther says, she says, yes, I will go. Send this word to Mordecai. I'll go. She says, I'll go and do the Lord's will. And this is what she says. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. God bless her. God bless her. She is saying, I'll enter that room. And if he doesn't raise his scepter, I'm dead. But I'm willing to do it. That's the kind of a person Esther was. My God, if we had more of those people among us. And so she goes, and when she enters the room, he extends the scepter. He accepts her. And then she asks the queen for her request, what she came for. And this is what she said. O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. And the king is absolutely dumbfounded, and his mouth drops open, because evidently he probably signed that edict when he was drunk. And he didn't know he had done such a thing, and never would have done such a thing, but he was drunk. And he says, who in the world ever said to do that? The king says, who is he? Where is he? Who would presume in his heart to do so? And Esther says, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. And the king then took Haman and had him put to death, had him hung. So it was that a beautiful queen showed her courage, courage that jeopardized her very life. She had a conviction. She stood by that conviction. Esther was a beautiful woman, a great thing of beauty. But the beautiful thing about her was not just her physical beauty, but it was that beauty inside, that character, that determination, that conviction, that willingness to die for her people. It's a thrilling, thrilling, wonderful story. If you haven't read it lately, read the book of Esther. But what do we take from this? What do we learn from this? When you read the intriguing story, you cannot help but see the hand of God and the providence of God, and not only with individuals, but with entire nations. And God isn't a God that just works with one soul, my soul, your soul, but he works with nations. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. They are just toys in his hands. This great God Almighty. Never limit him in any way. The word providence is derived from a Latin word providio. The prefix pro means before. Video means I see. The great God of the universe sees all of the events that are going to happen before they happen. He is never surprised. He's never caught unawares. He is this wonderful God, knows all things. He sees all things. He's working in all of the things of life. And we don't understand why certain things happen. But he is working. He is invisible, but he is there, and he is in control, and never you doubt it for a minute. God is God. There are some people fret because the name of God is not found in the entire book of Esther. And yet when you read it, you see God on every page in this story. The word God is not there, but the power of God is there. The fact of God is there. The wisdom of God is there. The perfect timing of God is there. Even an atheist can see that God is there. Look at the work in this story. The events may seem so trifling, ever so small, But God is standing in the shadows, and he's working it all, and he's bringing it to pass. The wonderful providence of God, when we see that providence and see that providence at work, and we see that great God Almighty that has all power and does all things, when we see that, it strengthens our faith. It gives us confidence. It gives us trust. It gives us assurance. It gives us joy, because by his hand, his at the helm of all things. To him, there's nothing left to the whim of chance. There's nothing left to the roll of dice or the way the cards are dealt out. To him, it doesn't matter which way the winds blow. It doesn't matter which way the storm comes. He is God, and he'll have the last word. Mark you down. It's last word. The great God Almighty, don't ever leave God out of the picture, and don't leave him out of your heart and out of your soul, but constantly lean upon him and trust him. And I know, oh God, this is the persecuted church, and some of them are going through terrible times. And you say, oh my, where is God? God, do you know? That's what the children of Israel said when they were in Egypt, and they were making bricks without straw, and the taskmasters were terrible, and they were crying to God, and they says, God, do you know? And God says, I've heard your cry, I've heard your call. There's a purpose and a reason. When the time came, they were delivered, and when the time comes, you'll be delivered from whatever you might have. Oh, what a great God, and we can serve him. And then God has a plan for your life. That was the thing that moved Esther to greatness. When she realized that God Almighty had a plan for her life, she began to work. And she began to work, and history was changed. She got action. She did something. Here she's been living as the queen, and everybody waits on her. She had a life of just a kind of humdrum life. Everything is taking place, and everything is perfect. She's living in luxury and all everything. And all of a sudden, we see everybody loved Esther. For instance, we're told in the second chapter, Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them who looked upon her. She was a favorite of the king, no small matter. But Mordecai reminded her, perhaps you have this position. Perhaps it's been given to you by God for such a time as this. Mordecai is saying, Esther, you're the queen. You're in the kingdom. And you're there for a purpose. You're there for a reason, Esther. And you've got to act. You've got to help. I'm going to tell you, friends, every last one of us God has a plan for us. And when that thought entered into Esther's mind, she stepped up. She had a purpose in life. She had a goal in life. She had a challenge in life. And she made her brave, and it made her strong. And she says, I will go into the king, and if I perish, I perish. That's what she did when she knew she had that plan. And God has a plan for you and for me. And it's all important, and you need to realize it, and you need to follow through. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know my plan, except day by day as he reveals it and shows me to do this and to do that. It tells us when we have that plan, when we know that God we are important to God when we accept him as our Savior. Why, then life is a serious thing. Life is an earnest thing. And it was so many times people look at their life as useless and meaningless, and they think of it as futile and no value. And why am I here, they say. And to those, we want to tell you, maybe you feel like that. Maybe you're a shut-in. Maybe you're advanced in years. Maybe you're bedridden. Maybe you're a young person, and you're having troubles, and you can't get around, and you have diseases, whatever it might be. You might say, I'm not worth anything. I'm too old. I'm too infirm. I'm too feeble. I can't get this done. I can't do this and that. Listen, as long as you take a breath, you're of value to God. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason, and you give that to God and serve that wonderful God. Esther lived in that level there until she saw that plan. And when she saw that plan, she said, if I perish, I perish. She says, if it kills me, I'll do that. I'll follow that plan. Life is worth living, and you are important to God, and he has a plan for you. Don't forget that. And then realize that you're called to a great destiny too. Because when we serve God and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and serve the Heavenly Father, he's going to call us to honor and to glory and to immortality. Vipakya, you see, he's going to do great things in our life. So we need to give our life to God. But you, what you need, first of all, is you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have Jesus in your heart and life. You can't know about him. You have to know him personally. You say, I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you how you do that. You pray, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. He knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And I'll love you and follow you, and I'll see you someday. Thank you, Jesus. Just don't worry how you say it. Just say it. I had a man the other day, he didn't ever have, I don't know if he ever prayed, and he prayed that. When he got done, he didn't know to say amen. He said goodbye. Fine, goodbye. Say hallelujah. I don't care what you do. Just so you ask Jesus into your life. And if you have done that, then your life needs to be given to God. And when you realize you're in God's hands and he is using you personally, life is worth living. Now, if you need some help, you write to us. And we need to have you help us with our finances. James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're just telling you. And you write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us christianworshiphour.com. Now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for all of those who come to you, all of those who right now that are accepting you as their Savior. And I'm praying especially, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in South Africa, the church that is suffering so. Bless and encourage them and help them to know they have a purpose in life also. And help us all to give you thanks and praise. And then to those on beds of sickness and shut in and lonely and weary and hurting and sad, just fill them with you. Help them to know that you're underneath of the everlasting arms and you'll never leave them or forsake them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we need to have you write to us. Get that down. And those of you on shortwave, it's box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to hear from you, and we need to have your gifts. We need to have your help. If you think this is something God is using, then you need to stand by and help us pay the way. If you don't think it's worth anything, then give it to somebody that you think is God is leading you to. Don't give if God doesn't lay it on your heart. But if he does, be faithful and ask him how much, and then he'll say how much. And you say, that much? And you say, oh, yeah, that much. I don't know what it'll be. Well, you all have a good week, and we're excited about next week. We're going to get together again, and we're going to look at David, great sinner, great saint. God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.